Thank you, Judge Callahan, and good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Alina Artunian. I'm joining you virtually from the law firm Mayer Brown on behalf of Petitioner Jose Medina Avina in connection with his petition for review. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, and I will watch the clock.
Thank you.
The undisputed and credible facts here, Your Honors, compel the conclusion that Mr. Avina more than meets both prongs of the analysis to support his claim for withholding of removal under the Convention Against Torture, the CAT. It is undisputed that Mr. Avina's brother-in-law, Jesus Alberto, was shot and killed by the Jalisco cartel, that his wife, Anandina, was abducted and later murdered by that same cartel because of a private investigation that she and Mr. Avina undertook, that his kids and grandson were held at gunpoint by the cartel, and that immediately after his wife's abduction, two armed men appeared at his house to get him next, that he was threatened.
I think we know the facts, and then on the compel standard, maybe you can tell me what evidence in the record compels the conclusion that Avina was in danger after he relocated from Colima.
Certainly, Your Honors. To start, the relocation point, so the reason why he had relocated was, in fact, because of all of the torture that was inflicted on his family, on his brother-in-law, on his wife, the abduction of his wife, and that he later learned the murder of his wife, holding his children at gunpoint. He had to relocate, Your Honors, because of the fear for his life, because he had two armed men appear outside of his home immediately after his wife was abducted. And what's important here is to keep that in context with the fact that this is one of the most, if not the most, dangerous cartels in Mexico. The Jalisco cartel is recognized for and notorious for using brutal violence on its victims and influencing all various levels of the Mexican government. And this court had even reviewed previous petitions with that same Jalisco cartel. And there's also evidence from the country conditions report, which has unfortunately gone ignored by the IJ and by the board, that recognizes that the Jalisco cartel has expansive reach throughout all of Mexico.
But he relocated a couple of times and he wasn't bothered, right?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. He relocated because he was...
So I have the same question I think that Judge Callahan does. My information from the briefs and the record is that he was able to stay with his daughters in Puebla and Morelia and his girlfriend in Rosarita for months at a time without threats or harm. How do you respond to that?
Your Honor, he had stayed in different parts of Mexico, and that's correct. But the reason he had to do this, the reason he went from one city to another, was because he was running from a cartel that had just abducted and killed his wife. Frankly, he was running for his life. He wasn't safely relocating. He wasn't on sabbatical or some sort of...
Not really answering that question, though, because there is a different part of the inquiry. You don't necessarily have to return to the city. If he was returned to Colima, that would be a different situation. But if people can safely relocate somewhere else, then the court can defeat your argument.
It can, but it shouldn't here. And the reason for that is the expansive reach of the Jalisco cartel. The cartel is not just located in Colima, and the cartel is not only focused on this one city that Mr. Avina is located. The fact that they had went to his business, his home, his neighborhood, is just a natural starting point for the cartel, but
I guess your argument then is the fact that he wasn't bothered in those two places doesn't mean he couldn't have been bothered, but there is no evidence in the record he was bothered in those two places. Is that correct?
There is evidence that he received a threatening telephone call while he was in Pueblo, or on the way to Pueblo, Your Honor. And that telephone call was, "We're going to find you and we're going to kill you." And frankly, when you're coupling that with the fact that his wife was already abducted and killed and his brother-in-law was killed by the cartel, that shows a severe feel for fear for someone's life. And it's understandable why he's running away. And frankly, anyone would. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Well, I want to ask you something about your asylum claim. The petitioner states he will be persecuted because of his membership in a social group defined as his family. But in his reply brief, he argues that he is not similarly situated to his family members that are currently residing in Mexico. Can you elaborate on your proposed social group and why it is cognizable here?
Absolutely, Your Honor. The social group is based on his relationship to his wife. And family relationship, as this court has recognized, is a cognizable social group. But the fact, it's not the entirety of his family. And I think that's, I think, the discrepancy Your Honor is referencing. The fact that there are other family members who are similarly situated in Mexico, who are living in Mexico, is not a reflection of the fact that they're similarly situated. But the relationship between Mr. Avina and his wife is one of family. And in fact, the reason he even volunteered to help Anandina, to help his wife track down or get some form of closure on who murdered her brother, was because of the closeness of their relationship. And that is a sufficient nexus to his fear of the cartel.
Why isn't the fact that the Mexican police showed up at petitioner's house upon request and the fact that they were investigating the murder of Avina's wife provide the substantial evidence in support of the IJ's finding that the police have not acquiesced to cartel gang violence?
Your Honor, the reason for that is because this court's guidance in Madrigal and several cases after that turns on whether the government's efforts are successful, not whether they are willing to do it or interested in doing it. Certainly every government wants to stop cartel violence, but in Mexico they are failing. And we have that directly from the country conditions report that despite attempting to curb cartel violence, it's not working, it's not successful. And frankly, the evidence that the IJ and the board had pointed to, the fact that the Attorney General had uncovered bodies, and unfortunately Anandina's body, is just the opposite of what Madrigal is demanding. The standard here is the government successful? They have not successfully stopped the Jalisco cartel in these instances, in killing Jesus Alberto, in killing Anandina.
The standard is that you have to be completely successful in putting the cartel down in order to meet the standard of acquiescence. I don't believe the cases stand for that proposition.
You're right, Your Honor. It's not they have to be completely successful, but there has to be evidence or examples of success. And we have firsthand that the police reaction to Jesus Alberto's murder by the Jalisco cartel was forget about it, leave it alone, close your eyes on it. Don't get involved, don't stir any trouble. And that is exactly what demonstrates and confirms that local police will acquiesce in Mr. Avina's torture. I think taking that all together shows that local police in Mexico would so acquiesce in Mr. Avina's torture. And we also
You're at less than 2 minutes. Do you want to save your time?
I see that. Yes, Your Honors. I'd like to save my time and thank you.
Okay, thanks. But before do either of my colleagues want to ask additional questions? I'll still give her the 2 minutes.
No.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll hear from the government.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Catherine McKinney, and I represent the Attorney General Merrick Garland in this matter. Your Honors, this petition for review should be denied. The petitioner, substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that the one anonymous threat that the petitioner received did not constitute past persecution, and the harm to his family members, while certainly unfortunate and tragic, didn't establish past persecution to him because.
If you want to respond, I think the record seems to indicate the suspected cartel members were actively searching for Avina, as evidenced in the fact that they visited his place of business, called his cell phone even after he fled Colima. When coupled with the national presence of the cartel, why doesn't that compel the conclusion that Avina could not safely relocate? I think I'm distilling what Ms. Artunian is arguing, but maybe I'm not doing it as well as she did.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you for that question. Because past persecution hasn't been shown for purposes of asylum, the burden would be on the applicant to show that he couldn't relocate. And the evidence as to the unfortunate the deaths of the family members, the ex-wife and ex-brother-in-law, those are, as far as what we have in the record here, unsolved. So as the immigration judge found, we don't know why those unsolved crimes occurred. So we don't know who perpetrated them in that respect. Secondly, we have very strong evidence here in the form of the petitioner having successfully visited three cities of Puebla, Morelia, and staying in Tijuana, in each time for a month without any threats or harm to him during that time, is evidence that he could relocate. It's substantial evidence supporting the agency's determination.
Go ahead, Judge Hawkins.
What if he was simply hiding from the cartel? Does that cast the balance a little more in favor of the petitioner? And that's the argument we just heard. He wasn't just spending vacation time in these three cities. He was hiding. How does that affect the government's argument?
I believe that the petitioner indicated that he remained with family members, each of the daughters, I believe, in each of those locations. And the evidence in the record does not establish that he was in hiding during that time, or I believe the other word used in the petitioner's brief was that he was forced to live a nomadic existence, and the evidence falls short of that. The evidence establishes that, for example, he traveled to Puebla and then a month later decided to travel to Morelia. There isn't an indication that during that time in Puebla, he was threatened or harmed in any way that would cause him to then visit the second daughter in Morelia. What we do have during that time is some evidence of individuals, and again, unknown individuals. The inference would be that they were connected to the Jalisco cartel. The evidence that the inference that petitioner requests the agency draw from the evidence is that those members were cartel members who were in his hometown at the time.
Well, a month isn't that long, though. Okay, a month isn't that long. So, and two places in a month, I think that's what she's arguing. Obviously, let's say it were at 6 months in each spot and he wasn't bothered. Is that stronger evidence for you, would you say?
Would it be stronger had he remained 6 months?
In each place.
I'm not aware of a bright line rule that 3 months.
Hypothetically, wouldn't you rather be arguing that it was 6 months in each place than 1 month in each place?
Each case would stand on its own facts, and if an individual had successfully relocated for a longer period of time, that might arguably be stronger evidence. Here we have evidence that he remained for a month at each location and was not those locations threatened or harmed. But we have additional evidence here. We also have other family members who reside in Mexico without harm, including the daughter who was at the home when the ex-wife was kidnapped, and she was threatened at that time, and she came, I believe the record reflects, with the petitioner initially to the United States and then abandoned her asylum claim and returned. And the testimony we have is that she remains in Mexico unthreatened and unharmed, in addition to the other two daughters that the petitioner was living with when he relocated to those respective cities. We also have the family members of the brother-in-law who was unfortunately killed, who remain in Mexico, and the record does not establish that they were threatened or harmed, including a similarly situated relative who had received anonymous telephonic threats, was able to successfully relocate. So that individual, that would be also strong evidence supporting the agency's decision with respect to relocation. On the CAT analysis, substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that the petitioner would not more likely than not face torture if removed to his native Mexico. For one thing, there was no past torture shown here. Additionally, the agency considered the ability of the petitioner to relocate as he had in the past. Additionally, substantial evidence supports the agency's determination that acquiescence of a government official had not been shown in this case. The government acknowledges that some of the background evidence, as we cited in our brief, there's a DEA government report here in the record indicating that the Jalisco cartel is a dangerous cartel and that the cartel has been growing in strength. I believe the report in the record shows that it's one of the fastest growing cartels. We do have that country conditions evidence, but we also have the evidence specific to what happened in petitioner's case. For example, when the brother-in-law was unfortunately killed and taken to the hospital.
Unfortunately is one way to put it. How many bodies do we have to stack up before then it's like, say if we had another one in the family or two more in the family, would that hypothetically, does that weaken an argument that for petitioner compelling a different result? I mean, the more bodies you have of family members, doesn't it get the case a little stronger?
Your Honor, I think your question is more directly posed to the issue of whether or not harm to family members could establish the likelihood of future torture. Hypothetically, the government might agree that in that instance, the government hasn't disputed that harm to family members is relevant in this context. The government's point there was actually that when the brother-in-law was killed and was in the hospital, the police were already there at the hospital. There was also evidence in the record that the police went to, following the brother-in-law's death, went to the brother-in-law's mother, questioned her. So there was evidence of an investigation, but the record reflects that the murder is unsolved. Similarly, with respect to the ex-wife, when she was killed, the family learned of the deaths precisely because there was an investigation into that death.
Well, let me ask you this. I understand that the IJ found Avina to be credible. Is that correct?
Correct.
So if we take that one step further, shouldn't we take his representation that he feared for his life and had to flee from place to place at face value if he was found to be credible? Or how do we look at that?
I think in the asylum context, for example, we might distinguish between an applicant's genuine fear of persecution and whether or not that's well-founded. I know that here the petitioner has apparently abandoned the withholding of claim and is just pursuing asylum and CAT. He can, of course, credibly fear that he will be harmed, but in the asylum context, we still have to look at whether or not that's well-founded, and in the CAT context, here we have to look at whether or not he's established that he more likely than not will face the torture he fears. So that would be how we would look at it in that context.
You're saying is we could believe him that he really feels that way, but you could still win. Is that your...
With respect to, exactly, Your Honor, with respect to asylum, you could believe him that he fears harm and agree with the agency, or at least find that the substantial evidence in the record supports the agency's determination that he did not show, for example, a likelihood of future persecution in the asylum context because he could reasonably relocate, or that in the CAT context, he did not show that he more likely than not would face torture for a combination of factors that the agency looked at, such as the absence of past torture to him, the other additional evidence in the record. Here we have the investigation into the death, the fact that he could relocate at several different cities, and I see that my time is up. Government requests that the court affirm the agency's decision and deny the petition for review.
Thank you. Do either of my colleagues have any additional questions of the government?
No.
All right, thank you. All right. Ms. Artunian, you have a little bit of time left on rebuttal.
Thank you.
A minute and 42 seconds.
Thank you, Judge Callahan. Three short points. To address the government's argument that there was only one anonymous threat and we don't know why this happened, Judge Callahan, you're right. Mr. Avina's testimony was found credible, undisputed, and there were no adverse inferences here. We don't need to keep piling on more bodies into this fact pattern. The evidence shows that all of the torture was inflicted by the Jalisco cartel, and that same cartel turned their attention to Mr. Avina. And the police's reaction to all of this was, stay quiet, leave it alone. That is, altogether, that just makes up the Mr. Avina's CAT claim. on relocation, Your Honors, the evidence that a person went into hiding for some period of time before fleeing does not support the conclusion that the person can successfully relocate. That's what Mr. Avina is doing here. He is living in hiding. And Judge Callahan, again, you're right. We have to take his testimony that he is living in fear at face value. We have this exact circumstances in Singh versus Holder, where the applicant was also hiding somewhere for 3 weeks at her aunt's house.
What about other family members that are living there safely?
That was my third point, Judge Callahan. Okay. The fact that there are other family members living there does nothing for this argument. They're not similarly situated. They were not the ones looking into the cartels and investigating the cartel or looking into who they were murdering. The cartel has an interest in silencing those who poke their nose where it doesn't belong. That's what Anandina did, and that's what Mr. Avina did as well, together. They are the only ones who have investigated into the cartel's activities. They are the only ones who are similarly situated. All of the cases that the government relies upon on this point, all of those applicants and their family members were in the same position. That's not the case here. Your Honors, my time has expired, and I just want to say thank you for your time, and the evidence compels granting Mr. Avina's petition. Thank you.
All right, thank you both for your argument. And once again, thank you for pro bono counsel, and both of you did an excellent job, and we appreciate when attorneys are prepared and aid us in the process. This matter will stand submitted.